Bibles with you tonight, please take them to the book of Psalms. And Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 to 11. Psalms 16, verses 9 to 11. Last week, we looked at Psalm 16, verses 1 to 8. And just to a little bit of background to bring you up to speed, a week has gone by. You might not remember some of the points that I had, and maybe some were not here. But we're talking about a blessings survey, surveying your life and just being appreciative of all the blessings that God has given us. And we talked about how Jesus Christ is our greatest blessing, knowing Him as Savior. And through Him, we have the blessing of relationship. We have our standing before God. We're saved. And we'll never lose that in Him. We also looked at the blessing of companionship, that God has given us this wonderful group called the church, that we can be a part of that and encourage one another. And so we are to love one another. And then we saw the third blessing, the blessing of fellowship, that while we have a relationship with the Lord, God wants us to walk with Him on a daily basis. And our communion, our daily communion with the Lord. And these are blessings that we have. Sometimes we don't realize them. We take them for granted. But really, they are some of the greatest blessings that a Christian can have. And we're going to continue that thought of blessing in these next verses that we have here. Psalm chapter 16, verses 9 to 11, we continue tonight. It says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we thank You again for the opportunity that we can come tonight and open Your word. Lord, we just thank You for this psalm here written by David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that just causes us to sit and to contemplate of all the blessings we have through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray, just be with me tonight as I bring this message. Help me to be able to give out these thoughts that I have and that they would be encouraging to those that are here. Father, we pray that You would just use this and empower me to just be able to glorify You tonight and lift You up as our Savior. Now bless us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, David was assured that the Lord would preserve his life in the face of death. I don't know if you ever heard the phrase. I think most of us have. And I want to speak to our cat lovers. Do we have any cat owners? Any people have pets that are cats? All right, so I'm just going to speak to you a little bit tonight. But you've probably heard of the fact that a cat is supposedly to have 9 lives. 9 lives. And, you know, of course, we kind of joke about that a little bit, because sometimes we'll say a person, if they do something kind of dangerous, or maybe they have a near miss or a near-death experience, we say, boy, you must be a cat. You got 9 lives. But that term or that phrase actually comes back in the days when people didn't really understand cats like we do today with science and everything. Cats have this ability that they can jump from great heights. And while they're, you know, falling through the air, they are able to adjust their body in a way that they can land softer than a normal animal. And many people in days of old that did not understand this, they would see maybe a cat fall or do that and land, and they would say, oh, you know, thinking, well, it should be dead, but it has 9 lives. So that's the idea of this, you know, having 9 lives. And because cats have that ability to do that. And as I said before, sometimes we apply that to people when they seem to be doing things that are dangerous. We kind of joke with them saying, oh, you've got 9 lives. You know, David, on many occasions in his life, and the scripture tells us that he faced death many times. He was a man who knew and faced death on many occasions. And the Bible gives us a few of them, doesn't it? How about the time at a very young age while he was standing up to Goliath And Goliath was kind of telling him, I'm going to make you into buzzard meat. Okay, we're just going to, I'm going to chop you up and the birds are going to eat you when I'm done with you. That's a very real thing, that giant. And so David, at a very young age, was facing death. Even a little later in his life, when he was wandering through the wilderness of Judea, Saul was chasing him with every desire to kill David. David knew that. And there was an occasion, the Bible tells us, that David was on one side of the mountain. King Saul, was on the other side of the mountain, rounding the mountain. David had nowhere to go. And the Bible tells us if Saul had gone any farther around, he would have found David and captured him. But of course, we know the story, right? The Lord intervened and spared David. But David came pretty close to his life. His life was threatened. And then we know that later on in his life, the Bible tells us that his own son, Absalom, tried to usurp the throne and sent out his armies to not necessarily just to fight the armies of David, but actually with the intent of killing David. That was his purpose, to kill his father. And David knew that. And so there were times, yet he knew his life was in danger. But yet through it all, the Bible says in verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." David trusted the Lord. And he knew that God would protect him. And he was there for him. And so David had this trust that God was going to take care of him and he could face death. Unlike David, though, most of us will never experience that type of circumstances where we'll face death. Maybe we'll miss death by a near-miss accident, so to speak. Something will happen. To most of us, we'll never have that. We don't know what it is to face death like that. But because David believed that God would preserve him in life, I believe that David also believed that God would preserve him in death. That David had a faith, much like we do today, don't we? We have a faith that if death comes, and when death comes, if Jesus tarries his coming, we have a faith knowing that we're going to be preserved in a way that we'll have an eternal life. And that's a blessing. That's a wonderful blessing. So today, let's look at two more spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And one of those is that we can live under the shadow of death. Under the shadow of death. We read verse 9. It says, we'll read it again. "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." My flesh also shall rest in hope. David had a hope of a long life. You might think a man like David facing death, being a warrior, being the king, you know, maybe he would say, "Well, David, how long do you expect to live under those circumstances? I mean, really." But David, I believe, he believed, God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for my life. And I'm not going anywhere until God fulfills that plan in my life. I think he had a faith. I think he had a hope, knowing that he wasn't going anywhere. He was not going to leave this world until God says, "I'm finished with you." Now, where would that have come from? Most likely, it came when the day when Samuel, when David was a young man, came to his town and came to his family with a mission, didn't he? He had a mission. "I'm here to anoint the next king of Israel." Why? Because Saul had disqualified himself through disobedience. And things were happening in Saul's life. He was in kind of turmoil because the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. So he was distracted and distressed and going through all those things. And Samuel was literally lamenting the fact that these things were happening to Saul. But God said, listen, don't do that. I have chosen a man after my own heart. And so Samuel came to that town, Bethlehem, with that mission to anoint the next king. And of course, you know, he had to go through all the sons of Jesse, from the oldest right down to the youngest, until finally God revealed to him who that person was, and it was David. And David was anointed king over Israel. And so David could rest and have the joy in his life, knowing that, you know, nothing was going to happen until God had fulfilled that plan in his life. Now, take a look at verse 10. It says here, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Here God gave David a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise that we shouldn't miss here tonight. Because this is one of the promises that we have and was literally fulfilled by our Savior, Jesus Christ. And God gave this promise to David hundreds of years before it ever came about. And here, God gave him a promise of what? Now, we take this for granted, don't we? We appreciate this, and we talk about this, we celebrate this. But David, to David, this was new, okay? This was new information. Of course, in this passage, he's talking about the resurrection. Now, we understand the resurrection. We have more understanding than David did because of the New Testament, because of the events that have happened. And now, David, he lived before the resurrection, looking forward to, knowing that this was going to happen. But here, a little bit easier for us, isn't it? We're looking back. And we can, you know, we have the evidence, we have the prophecies that have been fulfilled in Christ. All of these things have been fulfilled, and we have this wonderful promise. But here God gave David a promise of a resurrection. And not only just, to us, but David says here that this is going to happen to a descendant. All right? To his descendant. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. And of course, we have more explanation, the Bible gives commentary on this verse so that we have understanding and can understand a little bit what David was talking about when he said this. Let's go keep your place there in Psalms. We're going to come back there. But go to the book of Acts chapter 2, because in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter has just received the anointing or the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God has ascended upon him and those that were in the upper room that day. And he is out in the streets of Jerusalem and he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all through that city, because it's a feast time, it's a festival time, there are people from all over the known world that are there celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. And Peter's there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are listening to them because they are speaking through a wonderful gift that God has given them, and that's the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues is speaking in a language that you yourself may not understand, but those who hear you can understand what you're saying. They're a hearing language. Okay? That's what it is. They're hearing language. All right? Talking. And so this is a wonderful gift, enabling them to reach everybody in that city, regardless of what language they speak. What a wonderful blessing and a gift that God gave them. And as they're preaching, Peter begins to talk about the Savior. He begins to talk about what has happened. And then he starts to quote, and he's actually quoting Psalm chapter 16. And we pick it up here. Notice what it says, chapter 2. And notice what it says here. And let me find it here. Verse 26. And you might just recognize some of this language. here the Bible gives us in the New Testament. It says here, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's Psalm 16. He's quoting that. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. He's quoting that verse. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. And now, Peter, after quoting Psalm 16, he's going to tell them. He's going to explain it to them. And just remember, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's going to tell us what that means. He says here, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruits of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So what's David doing? He's saying, Peter is explaining, David, when he was giving this psalm, he was speaking in a prophetic way. And he wasn't talking about himself. He wasn't referring to himself, because obviously Peter says, David's dead. And his body is in the grave. And he has not experienced the resurrection. And he says, we know exactly where he is buried. At that time, they knew where that was. And his bones were there, where he was gathered to his people, as the Bible says. And so obviously, David was not talking about himself, but he was talking about, and Peter says, David had an understanding of who that was. Now, I don't know how much of an understanding is had, but David had an understanding that that was a reference to the coming of the Savior of Israel, who would be a descendant of him, his lineage, and one day he would sit on his throne and the promises of God would be fulfilled that David made to him. And Peter said David had some understanding of that. He knew he was talking about that. Now we know today that was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fulfilled that. And, you know, he did not got, when Jesus died, he did not see corruption. All right? He was 3 days in the grave, and he arose the third day. And not only that, but that old body, that physical body that died, was now raised up immortality, right? It was raised up incorruptible, and Jesus received a resurrected and glorified body. Now here's the blessing. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. Meaning this, if he's the first fruits, guess what? There's more to come, right? There's more to come. And we have a future. We have a future resurrection for us. And God's going to raise us up just like he did his son. And one day we're going to have a resurrected body. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing to know that. To know that this life is not all there is. You know, for people who are suffering. And I know there are people who suffer one way or another. It's a blessing to know, hey, this is not the end. There is something better. And we have a Savior who arose from the grave, and he is going to one day raise us up. Amen. You know, David didn't need 9 lives. He didn't need 9 lives to serve the Lord. Because he had a faith that God was going to provide and protect him and take care of him. And folks, you don't need 9 lives. If you'll stay faithful and follow him and let him guide you, then he'll fulfill his plan that he has for you in your life. Just like David. And we can have that hope that one day we'll be resurrected in that time. David didn't let death paralyze him from serving God. And don't let the fear of death, don't let these things paralyze you from serving God. Don't let these things hold you back from serving God. And allow God to lead you and guide you. And yes, we live under the shadow of death all the time. That's what David said over in Psalm chapter 23. All right? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is around us all the time. Death is there. But we can have faith that what death has lost its power. That's what the Bible teaches. Death has lost its power. It no longer holds us. For us who are saved and know Jesus Christ as Savior, it's lost its power. It has no threat because we can live. I'm not talking about living in eternity. I'm saying we can live today in faith, knowing that we can be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 58. So that's a blessing. Let's enjoy, let's appreciate that blessing, that while we are under the shadow of death, we can live. Let's live. Let's live. Let's live for God. Let's live for Him today. You say, what about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for Him today. And when the tomorrow comes, we'll live for him tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day after that. And then number two. Another blessing we have is that we can rejoice in the confidence that there is eternal life. David had a confidence that he was going to go and live with his Savior. This person who is going to be the Savior of Israel, the Christ, because of him, he was going to live forever. And we see that in verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. David believed that the Lord was leading and guiding him in his life. Psalm chapter 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And at the end he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, God wasn't just directing David in physical life, but David had an understanding that God was going to lead him to eternal life. That was his purpose. Not to just leave David to death and say, well, that's it. No. God had a purpose for his life, and the purpose was to prepare him for eternal life, where he would dwell with the Lord forever. And the same is true for us. God leads us in our life today for a purpose, that he may prepare us for when we get to heaven. I want to be prepared as much as I can. And still, I fall short so many times. I miss the blessings of God because of my own sin and my own stubbornness and my own pride. But let's allow God to direct and lead us, because he just wants to lead us and prepare us for eternal life that we have in him. And David understood this. He says here, "Thou wilt not, rather, thou shalt, thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." And then notice what it says: "At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." Amen. So there was a purpose for God leading him. And while David had a great and wonderful life, what a life he had! God blessed that man. That man saw more victories than probably all of us ever put together. That man saw wealth. That man saw God move and do wondrous things. But yet those wonderful things that he experienced in his life are nothing compared to the wonders and the blessings that he'll see in heaven. Isn't that true? And that's the same with us. All the blessings that we have seen, all the things that God has done for us, and we say, wow, God has done some wonderful things. Yes, he has. But listen, folks, they are nothing in comparison to what we're going to see when we get to heaven. What a blessing that is. To know that God is preparing a place for us. When it comes to what heaven is actually like, do you ever try to comprehend what heaven is really like? This thing that we call eternity. Now, I know our Catholic friends, they try to say that, well, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have halos, and we're going to be wearing these white, long, flowing robes with angels' wings on our backs. We're going to be sitting in clouds, strumming harps, relaxing and enjoying eternity. But that's not what the Bible says. Okay. That's not what the Bible says. Let's realize what the Bible says. The Bible says we're going to have a resurrected body, a glorified body, just like with our Lord. Hey, our Lord, you say, are we going to eat in heaven? Yeah, because our Lord ate after he was resurrected. He consumed food and ate it. What a blessing. He had a body that could appear and reappear. He had a body that could even conceal who he was to some people. That's what we're going to have, this wonderful resurrected body. And the Bible tells us that when we're going to be in heaven, we're going to be in the New Jerusalem. We're not going to be floating around on clouds. We're going to be in the New Jerusalem, ruling and reigning with him. We're going to be busy working and reigning with him, worshiping him. Someone said this: the central glory and joy of heaven is Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's it.
Now, all these things I've talked about are wonderful things, and beyond our imagination can comprehend. But the greatest of all that heaven is, it's our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the fact that we will stand around his throne and we will worship him.
Yes.
We will worship our Savior, the Lamb that had been slain. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. Notice what it says in verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That's a picture of heaven right there. Worshipping our God. Now, and listen, we're going to have that glorified body. And our worship will not be inhibited, okay, by our sin. It won't be inhibited by our lack of strength. It won't be inhibited by our lack of talents. Because one day we stand before him and we're going to worship him. Amen. Like we've never worshipped before. I believe John Newton said it best when he wrote the song Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we no less days to sing God's praise or grace than when we first begun. Knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior is the only assurance that we have nothing to fear when it comes to death, and a knowledge and a confidence of eternity. Sam, in 1941, was on the Bismarck. That was that famous German ship that was a nemesis in the Northern Atlantic. And Sam was on that ship when the British destroyer HMS Cossack destroyed that ship and sunk it. And Sam was a survivor. He was out floating on the wreckage, and the men of the Cossack reached out and they pulled him in and they let him into ship, and he stayed there for a while. Until later, when that ship, the Cossack, was sunk by a German U-boat, 563. But yet, after that, Sam survived. Even though other men had died, Sam survived. And they brought him to another ship. Well, by this time, they were calling Sam. He got this renown, you know, he became renowned. They called him Unsinkable Sam. And so Unsinkable Sam was put on a, you know, he was then put on an aircraft carrier. And he was there for a while until something happened, and it sank. And again, Sam was out at sea floating on the wreckage, and from the Royal York, the Ark Royal, the HMS, the British ship Ark Royal, it took Sam and put him on their ship. And they were going to Gibraltar in Spain. And when they got to Gibraltar, they said, "Now, Sam, you're a lucky guy, but you're not lucky for ships. Listen, we're going to put you ashore." And they put Sam ashore. Well, Sam ended up in the United Kingdom for the rest of his life, living in a seaman's home in Belfast. And eventually in 1955, Sam, Unsinkable Sam, passed away. Did I mention to you that Sam was a cat? David was a man of faith, and he didn't need nine lives. And we don't have nine lives. David didn't have nine lives, but he had a faith. He had a faith in the Word of God. He had faith in his God, and he could live his life serving the Lord. And that's true for us today. We don't have to live in fear. We can enjoy our life. We can grab our life and live our life, the life that God has for us. And we can be blessed knowing that when we leave this world, There's a better world to come.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be transparent. Do I fear death sometimes? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Because I'm human. And sometimes I wonder when that day comes, if I, you know, if I do know that I'm going to die, if it's coming that in that fashion, and I know I'm conscious of that, will I have that faith? I don't know. I hope I do. I hope I do. I hope my faith in the Word of God and the grace of God will sustain me. And it can. But we got to believe. We got to trust God and believe what He says and have that confidence that God has a place for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank You again. Thank You for all Your blessings. Thank You for eternal life that You've promised to us. And Lord, we are just so grateful for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to live our life that would bring glory and honor to our Savior. Now, Lord, bless us as we go to prayer tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.